Hello, welcome to 21st Century Moses Podcast. My name is Sammy Zhu, your host.
Do you like movie? Now, if you have a movie that's over 2 hours or 3 hours and you want to really watch the movie, but you don't have time, what would you do? Probably you want to go to a trailer, 2 minutes trailer or 3 minutes trailer or kind of summary of the movie. So you'll get the great idea about the movie. And then when you have time, like a week later, then you want to watch the movie in the full time, in a full sense. So what is, why do we do that? Because we want to know the core message, core summary, or core content of the movie, so that at least we can get the good grasp of the movie so that we can enjoy the full movie. Now, what is the core message of the Bible? Today, we're going to learn about that, because today we're going to go through John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. The most famous verse in the whole Bible would be John 3:16. So probably some of you or most of you already memorized this verse. So I want to go deeper into this verse. And why is this the core message of the whole Bible? We're going to find out as well. So even if you don't know the whole Bible, even if you have not read the whole Bible yet, if you know this message clearly, then you know the core, the whole message of the Bible. Doesn't mean that you should not read the whole Bible. I strongly encourage you, recommend you to read the whole Bible, because it is very important for us to know the whole counsel of the Bible. But at least at this point, I want us to go through this core message of the Bible through John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. So let's read today's passage together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. The one who believes in him is not judged. The one who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Amen. There are 3 points I want to make from verse 16. The first one is love. Second one is faith. Third one is life. So God so loved the world. So it starts with love of God. So, and the second one is whoever believes in him. So faith in Christ Jesus. And number three is life. What kind of life is it? It's the eternal life. So those who receive, those who believe in Jesus' name, they will have everlasting eternal life, not just a physical life, but eternal life. So let's go one by one. Let's first look at the first point, love. It says, for God so loved. So we can see that God's love here is not a mediocre love, but it is an amazing, abundant, incredible, indescribable love for us. God so loved who? The world. Of course, this is not a worldly love, but this is God's love for us. But this is very important. What's next? What comes next is important. It says that he gave who? God the Father gave his only Son. So now, let's talk about this a little bit, because this is so important. God does not just say, I love you, but he actually showed his love for us. God loved us in this way, that he gave his only Son. Now, his only Son, you might think like, God the Father is still on the throne, and then he's just kind of giving his second best, like his son. For example, like there's a mean father, and the father has a few sons, and it's like, okay, I'm going to give one of my sons to you, because he is kind of rebellious anyway. That is not the case. When it says only Son, only begotten Son, that means he has the Son, Jesus Christ, has the same nature with his Father. So it's not like, I'm going to give you my Son. But it really means that I'm going to give you who I am. Jesus is God. So God, when God the Father gave God the Son, God the Father gave himself to us. That's what it means here. So God so loved, and how do you know His love? He gave Himself for us. He gave who He is to us. That's what it means. And also, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrated His love toward us, His own love toward us, that Christ died for us. So God's love is not a mere words. God's love is accompanied by, proved by, evidenced by His action. And His action is incredible, because His action was not just giving His material blessing, but He gave Himself. Now, sometimes we think like, how do I know God loves me? Oh yeah, God loves me because He gave me this car. Yeah, God loves me because He gave me this wonderful house. He gave me this job. He gave me this person, my children, career. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on. Don't get me wrong. God can give those things to us, and God gives. God provides what we need. But most importantly, when we say God loves us, it's not about the material blessings, material gifts that He gives to us, but it is actually giving Himself. Because it says in today's verse, it says, God so loved us that He gave His only Son. That is the focal point of this gospel, of this verse. Yes, He gives us all the other things, but our focus and God's focus is this, that God gives His very best, His very essence, His very nature, that Himself is that His Son, Jesus Christ. So only through that fact, only with that, we will surely know how much He loves us. He gave Himself to us. And then next point is this, whoever believes in Him. Okay, so let's go back to today's passage together, and says, So that everyone who believes. So it doesn't say somebody, but everyone. It's very inclusive, right? Everyone. So it doesn't matter what kind of country, what kind of regions, and what kind of religious background you're from, but everyone who believes in Him. Who is Him? Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in Jesus. Okay, so this is the second point, that we need to have faith in Christ Jesus. Now, what does it really mean to believe here? Okay, so let me give you some context here. In John chapter 3, starts with Nicodemus and Jesus' conversation. Nicodemus came, he's the prominent Jewish scholar and a Pharisee. So he came to Jesus and say, you know, I think you are really from God, because you do amazing, amazing work. But Jesus confronted him in verse 3, if you are not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And this is totally new concept to Nicodemus. He had no idea what Jesus is saying about being born again. So how can a man be born again? Does he have to go into mother's womb again to be born again? And then Jesus continued in the verse 5, if you are not born again with water and spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So this is the problem after problem. Not only you cannot see the kingdom of God, but also you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, if you are not born again, then you cannot have eternal life. You will not go to heaven. You will be ended up in hell. That's what Jesus is saying. Now, Nicodemus must be in panic, because he followed all the Moses law up to that point, and he was doing everything that he could do. However, there's something missing, but that missing part is not a small thing. It's a huge part that he was missing the whole thing, which is the kingdom of God. He cannot see, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God if he's not born again. So he was puzzled. He had no idea. And Jesus was explaining about what does it mean to be born again. And in verses 13 and 14, it talks about the Moses account in the wilderness, that people sinned against God, and God sent a serpent, and the serpent bit the people, so many of them died, but they were severely, incredibly wounded. So they were looking for healing. And then God said to Moses that you make the serpent and put it on the stick, and whoever sees that serpent on the stick will be healed. So that's what Moses did. And Moses made a bronze serpent, and then he put it on the stick. And then whoever saw the serpent, they were healed. And Jesus is using that exact analogy. And verse 15, that likewise the Son of Man must be lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent. In verse 14, the Son of Man must be lifted up because whoever believes, in verse 15, whoever believes in him will not perish. And then today's verse follows in verse 16. So believes in Jesus, it's really like looking at Jesus. When people in the wilderness, people of Israel wilderness, saw the serpent, they were not just looking at the serpent. They were not just choosing to see the serpent out of all different options. I mean, they could just go to a hospital, right? Or they could have the oriental medicine to get healing. But imagine that they were in the wilderness. They did not have a hospital. They did not have any other ways other than looking at the serpent that God provided. So that the looking at the serpent was the only hope. But of course, the serpent was not God. The bronze serpent did not cure anybody. They were just following what God was saying to them. God provided it. So it is ultimately God who healed them. Likewise here, believing in Jesus Christ, that means there is no other way than Jesus to be saved. We are sinners, that we are dying. Now, people in the wilderness, they're dying because of snake bite. But this case, all of us were in a worse problem, the biggest ultimate problem, which is sin and death. All sinners are doomed to die, first death, but also we are also doomed to go to hell for eternal punishment because we are sinners. That is the second death, ultimate death. So we have a great issue, greatest issue to be solved, but we don't have any other way to be saved. And God provided the only way, which is Jesus Christ. So whoever looks at him, whoever believes in him, will not perish. That's what it really means. Because Acts chapter 2, 21, whoever calls on his name will be saved. And verse 4, Acts chapter 4, verse 12 also says, there is no other name under heaven that was given to us to be saved. So Jesus is the only way that God provided for us. So that believing in Jesus, that means we are recognizing, acknowledging that Jesus is the true way. He is the only way for us to be forgiven of our sins and for us to go to heaven. So believing in Jesus, that's what it means to be born again. Now, John chapter 1, verse 12, those who received him, even to those who believed in his name, God gave them the right to become children of God. In verse 13, they were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's what it means to be born again. You are born into the family of God. You are born in water and spirit, and you are born as the child of God. How? Through believing in Christ Jesus. Now, all the other religions have a different point of view, because they think that rather than belief itself, you need to do these good works, you need to do this and that to earn salvation. I mean, that's what the Pharisees were doing all the time, because they thought that if they did the good works, if they kept the Mosaic law, then they would earn the kingdom of God. They would be able to go into heaven. But Nicodemus and all the Pharisees, all the religious people were wrong in that, because none of them can go to heaven with their own good works. The only way, just like the only way to be healed was serpent, just like that, the only way to be healed ultimately from our sin and death is through Jesus Christ. That's what it means to believe in Jesus, acknowledging exclusivity of Jesus, that Jesus is the only one. But the invitation is inclusive, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Now, let's go to the last portion, which is this, that you will have life when you believe in Jesus. So let's look at today's verse. Verse 16, it said, will not perish. In other words, you're not going to hell. You're not going to have the eternal punishment, but you will have eternal life. So this is not just a life, mediocre life, but this is the abundant life. In John chapter 4, when Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman, Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you a living water. And this woman did not really know what it was. But in verse 13, he explained more that this water will not stop. There will continually spring up like an eternal spring. And then this woman was so intrigued by that. And she was saying, I really need that. And Jesus going to continue to talk with her that exposing her problem, and Jesus ultimately showed that Jesus is the ultimate answer. He is the Messiah. He is the promised one. So we can see that the Jesus truly provides the eternal life, eternal water. And also Jesus said in John chapter 6 that he is the manna from heaven. The people in the wilderness, they died even with eating the manna from heaven. But this manna that Jesus calls himself as the manna, that means Jesus is going to give you the true manna that you will not hunger, you will not thirst anymore, because you will have eternal and abundant life. So this is the gospel message, very clear, very simple, that God loves us, that he gave his only son. So whoever believes in him, whoever acknowledges that Jesus is the only way, that he is the Lord and Savior, and he died for our sins, and he rose from the dead to give us eternal life. Look at Jesus. There's no other way. If you look at Jesus, if you believe in him, then you will not perish. You will have eternal life. Let's go to the next verses, because it really shows that Jesus' purpose coming. Let's look at verse 17. It says, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world. So we can see that Jesus' first coming, his purpose was not to judge the world. It's not to punish the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. Jesus came for this purpose. Jesus came to save us through death on the cross and through resurrection. And then verse 18, the one who believes in him is not judged. So no matter how good works you do, ultimately you will be judged for your sin. Because even if you have only one sin, and if you have millions of good works if you have done, but still you will be judged for that one sin that you have. Everyone has sin, right? So we will be judged for our sin. But if we don't believe in Jesus Christ, we have no idea to hide our sins or to cleanse our sins. So we will be judged. That's what it means here. But the one who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the one only Son of God. So it's very clear. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you will be judged. But if you believe in Jesus Christ, then you will not be judged, because because of your faith in Christ Jesus, your sins are forgiven and his righteousness became yours, so that you are not going to be judged by him. So what a wonderful message. What a wonderful gospel we have. This is why it is saying the gospel. In other words, it is the good news for us. The bad news is this, that we're in the world full of sin and death. And I don't have to convince you how bad the world is. The world is full of all the infirmities, imperfections, not to mention sickness and death. So that's why people are developing their religion. But look at the religion very carefully. It doesn't really say about how much God loves us. God is there, or the supreme being is there somewhere there. But he is righteous, he's judge, he is holy, and we're not. So he is going to punish us anyway. So what we can do is we can do the good works as much as we can, and we can build, we can give money to the poor people, and then we can help, you know, poor people. We can do all these good works to earn some favor from God. So we may be able to go to heaven if God approves us. Or if you are atheist, you might think like, you know, there's no God, just to prove yourself to be worthy in front of other people. Just, you know, be a good person and be a better person and then develop yourself and increase your influence and just do whatever you can do so that more people would respect you, and then they will see your worth and value and enjoy your life because you only live once. So this is your life. So your reward is just good life and happy life and healthy life on this earth. That's what most people think. And that's what most religions say. But the gospel is completely different because gospel starts with God, who is loving. Now, we learned about who God is for the last few weeks because we started in John chapter 1. That Jesus is the Word, and the Word is God, and the Word is Jesus is the Creator. He is the Recreator. He is He transforms us, and He is really the source of everything. He is the purpose of everything. So we learned about who God is. But if you just stop right there, like God has all the great characters and all the essence and all the great nature Himself, but if He is still angry with us and He wants to kill us, He wants to judge us, then there's no point. Right? But today's verse clearly tells, and the whole Bible clearly tells, yes, God is holy, God is the creator, God is the ultimate source, God is the purpose, and God is everything to us. But here is the wonderful truth that He loves us. God loves you. That is the foundation here. And that is the truth that the Bible is talking continually from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from the book of Genesis through book of Revelation. But the question is, how do we know? God gave His only Son. God gave Himself to us. So that what you need to do is not to earn His favor through your good works. All you need to do is to believe in Him. Acknowledge that He is everything for us. We cannot earn our salvation. The biggest lie, biggest heresy is this: do good works and then you'll go to heaven. That is the biggest lie of Satan. Don't listen to him. We cannot earn salvation. We cannot go to heaven without good works. Only way is through believing in Christ Jesus. Look at Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the only hope. He is the only Lord. He is the only Savior. He is the only God. He is the only way to be saved. There is no other way. John 14:6. I am the way, truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus clearly lays out the foundation that Jesus is the only way. So when you believe in Jesus, then the outcome is this. You will not perish. You will not be judged. But you will have eternal life. You will have abundant life. That is the core message of the Bible. That is the gospel. So what should we do? First of all, we need to experience this love of God. Now, I think we have the tendency to think love of God as blessings that we have. Some people might say, you know, I prayed to God and God gave this incredible job, six-figure job, so I think really God loves me. You know, I prayed so hard and, you know, God brought this wonderful person in my life. So, you know, I feel like God really loves me. Or, you know, I feel very healthy these days. I think God is really blessing my body so that I feel so I don't really feel the sickness anymore. I'm really good. Again, don't get me wrong. God definitely can give all those things. And if you look at the Bible, you see that all kinds of miracles taking place. And even in the book of John, you see the miracle happening place. You know, God turned water into wine and God brought joy to this wedding ceremony. And you will see that lots of healings taking place. Yes, God truly blesses us with the material blessings. However, we have to be very careful. If we equate God's love with the material blessing, then when the material blessings are gone, what's going to happen? We are going to doubt about His love. What if you lose your health? What if you lose your car and house, your loved ones? Are you going to doubt about God that, oh, God doesn't love me anymore? Because look at this, you know, God took away all these blessings from my life. So He doesn't like me. Or when you pray for job, good job and good person and then good things in your life, but it looks like God is not really answering your prayer. God doesn't give any of those things. So you're going to say, oh, well, God doesn't love me, or maybe God is not even there. A lot of people think that way, but this is what the Bible says. God loves you. How do we know? Not that he's going to give you car, house, no. He gave his only son. It doesn't say he will give only son, or he may give you only son, but he says it's a past tense. He gave his only son. That is the fact. And that is the evidence that we know, we should know, we must know that God loves us. That's the only thing that we should equate God's love, because that is the most important, that is the focal point of his love. He gave his son. So even if you don't receive material blessings after much prayer, you should not still doubt about God's love for you, because God gave his everything to you already. God gave Jesus Christ. So experience this love. Be firm with this love. Do not doubt about God's love for you. He gave his only son, who he is, to you. So the second, what we need to do, believe in him. Believe in him. Do not believe in material blessings that God has given you. Do not believe other things. Do not believe yourself. Do not believe in your works. Do not believe all the other things, but believe that Jesus is the only way for you to go to heaven. Jesus is the only way for you to be born again. So believe, believe, believe in Jesus so that you will have eternal life. When you have eternal life, what are you going to do? Of course, you're not going to die, right? But in this world, we have so much worries and we have so many stresses. Why? Because we don't know about future. And then ultimately, you know, we're struggling with, you know, a sickness and death, and all those things contribute to our, you know, problems in the world. However, believe that, yes, in this world, we're going to have pain, we're going to have suffering, we're going to have all those things, but you have eternal life. That should change your perspective. Think in terms of eternity. Your life here, maybe 30 years, 40 years, or 100 years, it's a speck compared to the eternal life. Do not focus on this world, but focus on the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus is saying, continually saying, seek his kingdom, Matthew 6:33, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So don't wait until you go to heaven to enjoy the eternal life. Enjoy eternal life. Think in terms of eternal life from now on. Because God loves you, you believe in Jesus Christ, and so you have eternal life. That is the firm promise. He says you will have eternal life. You will not perish. So with that, live your life in terms of eternity. So this is the good news. This is the gospel. This is the core message of the gospel. So that we need to bring this gospel. We need to share this core message with everyone that we know of, because they're still in darkness. And they still don't know how much God loves them. They still don't have the faith, so that in turn, they will be judged. No matter how great life they lived on this earth, they will be judged by God. So our obligation is to go and share this core news, core message of Jesus Christ, that God loves us so much that he gave his only son. Whoever believes him will not perish, but have eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this firm foundation of our faith, the core message of the whole Bible, that you love us so much, that you gave your son, yourself, to us so that we believe in you, and because of that, you save us, and you forgive us, and you give us eternal life, and you bring us to the kingdom of heaven. We thank you so much for that. So Father, please let us live with this core message, so that we'll never doubt about your love, we'll continue to believe on you, and we'll enjoy this eternal life that you have given us, so that we will share this gospel with everyone that we know of, so that they will also have eternal life through faith in you. We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' holy name, I prayed. Amen.